According to a study by George Mason University in the U.S., beauty products often contain environmental products such as parabens, which are antimicrobial preservatives, which serve as UV filters. Researchers collected over 500 samples from 143 women aged 18 to 44 who had no chronic health conditions and didn't use birth control. Analysis of the samples indicate that those with the chemicals present in their system produced abnormal amounts of the reproductive hormones, estrogen and progesterone. Too much estrogen has been linked to fibroids and irregular periods, but too little prevents eggs from maturing. Excessive progesterone, meanwhile, is associated with breast cancer and other conditions. The study is published in the journal Environment in the International. Researchers say the warning signs of type 2 diabetes may be detectable 20 years before the disease is diagnosed. The study conducted in Japan found that elevated fasting blood sugar levels and insulin resistance were seen in people years before they developed prediabetes, often a precursor to type 2. The study followed participants until they were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, prediabetes, where blood sugar levels are abnormally high, or the end of 2016, whichever came first. Over the study period, 1,067 new type 2 diabetes cases were diagnosed. The findings suggest interventions to stop the disease in its tracks should begin far earlier in life, authors say. And that's a wrap-up of your latest news.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, U.S. First Lady Melania Trump visits Africa. Mrs. Trump is promoting child well-being during her stops in Ghana, Kenya, Malawi, and Egypt. The U.S. First Lady visits Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lee Normudu. Welcome to Health Chat. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a worldwide annual campaign to highlight the importance of breast awareness, education, and research. Breast cancer is the top cancer in women worldwide and is increasing, particularly in developing countries where the majority of cases are diagnosed in late stages. That's according to the World Health Organization. Although breast cancer is thought to be a disease of the developed world, WHO says almost 50% of breast cancer cases and 58% of deaths occur in less developed countries. Early detection is key in order to improve breast cancer outcome and survival. Today we will discuss breast cancer, and joining us from West Lafayette, we have three guests today. First of all, joining us via phone is Professor Seth Wiafie. He is a Health Geoinformatics Program Director and Assistant Professor with the Center for Leadership in Health Systems at Loma Linda University. Professor Seth Wiafie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lenon.
And our two guests are, first, Dr. Beatrice Wiafie Adai. She is CEO of Ghana Peace and Love Hospitals and president and founder of Breast Care International. Dr. Wiafie Adai will join us in a moment. And also joining us via phone from West Lafayette is Professor Sophie Lelièvre. She is professor of cancer pharmacology with Purdue University and co-leader of International Breast Cancer and Nutrition. Professor Lelièvre will also join us in a moment. So let me start with you, Professor Seth Wiafie. You are taking part in the 8th Annual International Breast Care Prevention Symposium. Can you give us some of the highlights of what is happening?
Thank you so much. The symposium has been very productive, and the discussion is actually centered around new innovative technologies to understand the epigenetics and environment and nutrition as it relates to breast cancer prevention.
Mm-hmm. And new innovations and technology. Can you tell us a little bit about what you saw and what you think about what you saw?
One of them is actually data science, looking at big data and how that can support the understanding of breast cancer around the world. The other one is the development of biomarkers. which are very important to understand what actually goes on in the breast before we actually implement it in humans. So these are the two areas that I think are very innovative to help us understand breast cancer.
Now, you are a researcher. You have done quite a bit of work in research trying to understand what breast cancer is and how women can better, and men, because some men develop breast cancer as well, so how patients in general can be better cared for and also prevent the disease from developing. Talk to us about your research. What is the latest work that you are focusing on?
The latest work that I'm focusing on is trying to understand unmet needs in women following primary treatment for breast cancer in two African countries, Ghana and also in Tanzania. And what we are trying to look at is, in UK, they have developed a holistic needs assessment tool that they have successfully implemented, which is being used by clinicians as they advise patients, especially those that have undergone treatment. Now, this tool was developed in UK. Therefore, we are not sure whether that can be feasible implemented in African countries. And so we are adjusting or modifying the tool and testing it out in two African countries that I mentioned before, Ghana and Tanzania.
Okay. So talk to us about the incidence of breast cancer in Ghana, where you're from.
The incidence of breast cancer in Ghana, it's actually increasing as it's in the whole world. Actually, recently, Globacon reported the numbers for 2018. And I believe if we compare this one to the previous report, we see that the number has actually doubled. And I believe that because reporting is being improved, although Ghana still don't have the National Cancer Registry, but I think because there is more awareness that has been created, there's more reporting, and that is why we see the incidence increasing. Now, however, while the incidence is increasing, I think our major worry is in the mortality, because still most of our women actually report very late, and therefore mortality rate is being increased.
So why do you think they report very late?
There are several factors. And in my previous research, I actually studied the impact of sociocultural factors on late presentation among Ghanaian women. And what I found out was that the reasons for late presentation is multifactorial. There are some personal factors, such as, you know, fear and beliefs in cultural issues. And also there are some health system factors. Now, in Ghana, the healthcare system is not as advanced as we have in the Western world. And therefore, many women find it very difficult to even access the healthcare system. And so the reasons are multifactorial, actually, and it's a bit complex than we see. I think the social and cultural issues are very important to be looked at, especially in the African context. Mm-hmm. Some of the women believe that breast cancer is caused by the devil. And therefore, they don't see the need to even go to the hospital. And their belief is that the doctors are not trained to handle diseases that are caused by the devil. And so they prefer to go to the traditional healers. or the spiritual leaders to seek alternative treatment. Now, unlike the West, where complementary or non-medical, non-modern treatment is considered as complementary, Ghana is considered as the primary, and so women will go to the traditional healers first before they attempt to go to the modern hospital. So those are some of the issues that are still very, very prevalent in Ghana.
Wow. So, and the thing is, it's not just a Ghanaian issue. This is something that I spoke to people from different parts of Africa, different countries, and these beliefs and behaviors, unfortunately, we see sometimes in other parts of the continents as well. So then, when you're faced with such a problem where the issue goes deep in people's belief and system and way of life and long-term traditional patterns, how do you start by addressing this issue?
Now, I think if the healthcare system can be improved, it would then demonstrate a different side of the problem. Because people will get helped, and you know that will be evident. Mm-hmm. But as it is now, first of all, the healthcare system is not adequate. Patients have to struggle through to see a doctor, and sometimes they have to wait for many months before they get to see a doctor. So by the time they get there, and the doctor tries to do something, it becomes very difficult for them to actually get healed. And so people see their relatives see them dying at the hospital. So they believe that it is the hospital that is actually killing the patient. So I believe if the healthcare system can be improved, then it is very easy for that to be evident, so that that is a message of its own that will be sent to the communities.
Okay.
So I think that is something that needs to be looked at, especially in the African continent. And I think in many places in Africa, the healthcare system is probably similar to what we have in Ghana.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, I think the government needs to take a look at how to improve or support, actually, the various initiatives that goes on. More education is needed because some of these people are very, very uneducated and ignorant about the disease.
Mm.
And so it has to take more than just improving the healthcare system.
Okay.
Adequate drugs. Even the healthcare professionals need to be adequately trained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which in Ghana, for instance, there is no nursing training facility that actually has oncology session in that.
Mm-hmm.
So the nurses come out without even understanding what management of breast cancer is or concern.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you address that particular issue? So it would take the government, the NGOs, really, practically everybody has to be involved in the fight against breast cancer in the country.
Yes, indeed. Definitely a multi-sectoral approach. Thank you so much, Dr. Professor Seth Yuafie, and stay with us. We are now joined by Dr. Beatrice Yuafie Adai. She is CEO of Ghana Peace and Love Hospitals and president and founder of Breast Care International. Dr. Yuafie Adai wears many hats and has many titles, but we are going to stick to these two for now, because I believe you are also the chair of Ghana Cancer Society. I'm not sure, but anyways, let's talk
Ghana
about
Cancer Board.
There you go, Ghana Cancer Board, and many other hats that you wear. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. We were having a little technical difficulty, and we are very glad to have you. We are not able to reach Professor Sophie Lelièvre, but we hope that eventually we'll get to talk to her. So, Dr. Wiafiadai, you are at the symposium, just like Professor Seth and Professor Leliev, who was supposed to join us. From your perspective, can you give us a sense of what is happening?
Yes, thank you so much. In fact, we've been part of International Breast Cancer Nutrition Project since its inception, and we are honored to be a member of the family because it's looking at prevention and what role nutrition plays. Since we still don't know the cause of breast cancer, and it's a disease that is taking the lives of most of our women, loved ones, sisters, mothers, friends, so, and even some kinds of men. And so we need to all do what we can, what we humanly possibly can, to find what triggers the epigenome or the cell to start behaving abnormally. And so we are very concerned about this. And to think about the fact that our women do not really sometimes have the basic knowledge of what they are encountering, what they should do, what they, how they can take care of themselves not to even get the disease, or when they find it, the right steps to take and not to stay until it's too late. And since about 50% of our patients report late to the hospital, with these high mortalities, we all need to do a lot. And when we look at the developed world and the kind of research that is ongoing, sometimes you sit in the meetings and you worry, when can we reach where this is? But I know that one step at a time, you get closer. And a lot of things are happening, a lot of insights into the research world and the things that have been achieved so far. And my only prayer is to translate the research findings in the laboratories to the women, because the women cannot wait any longer. We need the answers to our questions, and we need to know the right things to do to reduce the increasing incidence of breast cancer worldwide. And in our part of the world, you would think that the incidence is not that much, but the mortality rates are higher than the high incidences in the developed world. So that is a cause of worry to all of us, that we know that at least our children and our grandchildren have a better world than what we are seeing now.
So, I mean, you touched on so many good points, and one of the things that I wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit on is nutrition. You mentioned nutrition. To what extent are women aware where you are that the nutrition, the diet that they have every day is linked to breast cancer? And how much awareness do they have, and how much do they know what to eat or what not to eat? Can we speak about that?
Yes. I'm sure the most of the work has been done in the laboratories. So the contents of the various diets and the fruits and the vegetables we have, but whether the information has really reached the women to let them be informed of what to eat and what not to eat and what to do, not what not to do, I think there's a little bridge there to cross. Again, when we talk about diet and its impact on breast cancer, we shouldn't forget that the environment also has a big role to play. The pollution we have, the air pollution, the contaminants in the waters that are used to irrigate the farms, the pesticides that are used, they all have impact on the nature of the food that we are eating. So as much as you want to know the contents of the various food items and the various articles. We should also look at the environmental pollution and what that has on us as humans, because that is what we consume. And we are very sure that with this research coming out every day and day, we are going to have a better understanding of how to manage our lives and how to manage what we eat into our bodies, because it's a world, a global issue. Fertilizers, GMOs, whatever you call it, and they are all over the world. Now we have a small global world. So whatever is eating in the U.S., you find people eating them in Africa. We all have the fast food now. We have the processed meat and all that. So we have to look properly into what we are taking inside us. And that's why it's important to have the researchers looking into the diet. And that's what is happening at KBU University at the moment.
Okay. And we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion on breast cancer with Dr. Beatrice Wiafie-Adai and Professor Seth Wiafie. Don't go away.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us tonight, we are discussing breast cancer, and our guests are both joining us from West Lafayette in Indiana. And we have Dr. Beatrice Wiafie-Adai, CEO of Ghana Peace and Love Hospitals, and Professor Seth Wiafie, Assistant Professor with the Center for Leadership in Health Systems at Loma Linda University. And you are both joining us from Purdue University, where the symposium is ongoing, the 8th Annual International Breast Care Prevention Symposium. So, Dr. Wiafie-Adai, how far have we come in the fight against breast cancer? You've been involved in this fight for such a long time.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, the fact is, every country has its own peculiar fight to fight. And so when you come to Ghana and most African countries, the task ahead is how to get people educated, how to get them aware that breast cancer is one of the non-communicable diseases, and how to let them know that it's a hospital disease, and so they shouldn't waste all the time doing other things except going to the hospital. For them to know they have to go to the hospital for treatment, because there is treatment. And so our main focus is to reduce the stage at which women come to the hospital. If we are able to do that, a lot of lives will be saved. And we can only get them going to the hospital when they understand the disease we are talking about, when they understand that some women have survived it because they went early to the hospital. And so they should also go early to the hospital to be able to survive the disease.
Mm-hmm. And Professor Seth, we talk about the importance of research. You, as a researcher, what do you see as some of the very urgent needs in terms of new research moving forward?
Yeah, I think there is the need for researching into the biology of tumors in Ghanaian women, because the biology can make a big difference in the treatment. And so now that science has advanced to the stage where we can actually understand the biology of the tumors, and of course the impact of the environment on the tumor. I think that is an urgent need of research. But I must also say that we still need to research more into the social and cultural aspects of the Ghanaian society, because even in the country, we cannot treat the same people in the same way as far as the social and cultural dynamics are concerned. And so there's more research in that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Dr. Wiafye Adai, when you look at the way the fight is addressed, whether it's in Ghana, other countries in Africa, or just in general, what do you see in terms of what policymakers can do and leaders can do to step up more awareness, more help, more care for the fight against breast cancer?
Yeah, a lot needs to be done. In the first place, we have to put cancers and even the non-communicable diseases on the priority list. Because if we are not thinking about the cancers and the non-communicable diseases and only thinking about the communicable diseases, we will be done with the communicable diseases. But the cancers and the non-communicable diseases shall always be with us. So we just need our leaders to understand that every human being is a potential candidate, a potential patient to one non-communicable disease or the other. And so we are not helping ourselves by not attacking the diseases that go under the umbrella of non-communicable diseases. Families should do their part to support those who are diagnosed with breast cancer, for example. And governments should be there to support them, support in the diagnosis, in the treatment. Because if a woman knows that she will be assisted in diagnosis and treatment, and even in screening, she would want to go forward to be treated for a disease that is highly treatable and highly survivable. So we just want our policymakers to understand and to come to the aid of especially women who are diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. It's not through their fault that they have breast cancer.
Okay.
So we should be there for them and help them to go through the treatment.
Very good point that Dr. Wiafye Adai is making, Professor Thet. I want to get your take on the issue of the role of men very quickly because we're running out of time. What do you think? How men can be part of the solution at this point?
I think men play a very important role because in a society like we have in Ghana, the men are seen as the backbone of the family. And therefore, they have to support their wives in terms of an incident of breast cancer. There are several cases where men have chased their wives because they have breast cancer. And I think that is really not something that is appropriate. We need to educate the men as well to be supportive of breast cancer. Yeah.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Dr. Beatrice Wiafye Adai and Professor Thesh Wiafye, thank you so much for joining us both.
Thank you so much.
And that's all the time we have for you. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa, engineer Alfredo. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.